one reminds me of Mira. She could always choose another quadrant, I say softly, hoping it will soothe him. He blinks at me. We're all riders. What? We're all riders. It was part of the deal. We're allowed to live, allowed a chance to prove our loyalty, but only if we make it through the rider's quadrant. He stares at me in bewilderment. You don't know? I mean, I shake my head. I know that the children of the leaders, the officers, were all forced into conscription. But that's all. A lot of those treaty addenda are classified. I personally think the quadrant was chosen to give us the best chance of rising in rank. But others, he grimaces. Others think it's because the death rate is so much higher for riders, so they were hoping to kill us all off without having to do it themselves. I've heard Imogen say they originally figured the dragons have unimpeachable honor, so they'd never bond a marked one in the first place. And now they don't quite know what to do with us. How many of you are there? I think of my mother and can't help but wonder how much of it she knows, how much of it she agreed to when she became the commanding general of Bezgaeth after Brennan's death. Zayden's never... He pauses. 68 of the officers had kids under the age of 20. There are 107 of us, all who carry rebellion relics. The oldest is Zayden, I murmur. He nods. And the youngest is almost 6 now. Her name is Julianne. I think I'm going to be sick. Is she marked? She was born with it. I understand it was done by dragon, but what the fucking hell? And it's all right that you ask. Someone should know. Someone should remember. His shoulders rise and fall as he breathes deeply. Anyway, is it hard for you to be in here? Or is it more of a comfort thing? Subject change noted. I take in the rows of tables, slowly filling with scribes readying themselves for work, and imagine my father among them. It's like coming home, but not. And it's not that it's changed. This place never changes. Hell, I think change is the mortal enemy of a scribe. But I'm starting to realize that I've changed. I don't quite fit here. Not anymore. Yeah, I get that. Something in his voice tells me he really does. It's on the tip of my tongue to ask what the last 5 years were like for him. But Jacinia reappears, the cart laden with the requested tomes. I have everything here for you, she signs, then gestures to the scroll on top. And that is for Professor Markham. We'll make sure he gets it, I promise, leaning forward to take the cart. My high collar shifts, and Jacinia gasps, her hand flying to cover her mouth. Oh gods, Violet, your neck! Her hand movements are sharp, and the sympathy in her eyes makes my chest tighten. Sympathy isn't a word found in our quadrant. There's rage, wrath, and indignation, but no sympathy. It's nothing. I put my collar back in place, covering the ring of yellowing bruises, and Liam reaches across me, taking the cart. We'll see you tomorrow. She bobs her head and wrings her hands as we turn for the door. Pearson closes it after we pass into the hallway. Ryerson taught me to fight during the years he was at Tervain. Liam's change of subject is appreciated, and no doubt intentional once again. I've never seen anyone move the way he does. He's the only reason I made it through the first round of challenges. He might not show it, but he takes care of his own. Are you trying to sell me on his finer points? We make the ascent, and I note with some satisfaction that my legs feel strong today. I love the days when my body cooperates. We are slightly stuck with him for, he makes a face. Well, forever. Or until one of us dies, I joke, but it falls flat as we round the corner and take the path past the healer quadrant. How can you do this, anyway? guard someone whose own mother oversaw the wing that captured yours? I've wanted to ask the question all week. Wondering if you can trust me? He flashes another easy grin. Yes, the answer is simple. He laughs, the sound echoing off the tunnel walls and glass windows of the clinic. Good answer. All I can say is that your survival is essential to Ryerson's, and I owe him everything. Everything. He looks me straight in the eye for that last word, even as the cart hits a raised stone in the paved corridor. The scroll on top tumbles to the floor, and I wince at the dull ache in my ribs as I hurry to retrieve it, and it unrolls along the slight slope of the passage. Got it! The thick parchment isn't eager to roll back into place, and I catch a sentence that makes me pause. The conditions at Somerton are of particular concern. A village was ransacked, and a supply convoy looted last night. What does it say? Liam asks. Somerton was attacked. I flip the scroll to see if it's marked as classified, but it isn't. On the southern border? He looks as confused as I feel. Yeah, I nod. It's another high-altitude attack, too, if I remember my geography correctly. It says a supply convoy was looted. I read a little further, and the community storage in nearby caves was ransacked. But that doesn't make sense. We have a trade agreement with Poromiel. A raiding party, then. I shrug. No clue. Guess we'll hear about it in battle brief today. Attacks along our southern borders are rising, all with the same description. Mountain villages are being torn apart wherever the wards weaken. Immense, incredible hunger strikes, my stomach gnawing on emptiness that demands to be appeased with the blood of Sorengil? Liam looks over at me, concern etched between his brows. Tarn's awake, I manage to say, clutching my stomach like I'm the one who craves a flock of sheep, or goats, or whatever he decides for the morning. Good gods, please go eat something. The same could be suggested to you, he snarls. Such a morning person, aren't you? The hunger dissipates, and I know it's because he's dampening the bond in that moment because I can't. His emotions only flow into me when they override his control. Thank you. And Darna? Still sleeping. She'll be out another few days after using that much power. Does it ever get any easier? I ask Liam. Being tackled by what they're feeling? He winces. Good question. Day keeps pretty good control of himself. But when he's angry, Liam shakes his head. It's supposed to help once they start channeling and we have the power to shield them out. But you know, Carr isn't going to bother with us until that happens. I'd already assumed Liam didn't have his abilities yet, considering he's with me in every single class. But it's comforting to know he's still in the waning population of powerless riders with me. While Andarna has given me her gift for stopping time, I'm pretty sure using it isn't going to be a regular occurrence, especially if it takes her days to recover. So, Tarn hasn't channeled to you either, right? Liam asks, a look of uncertainty, vulnerability on his face. I shake my head. I think he has commitment issues, I whisper.
I heard that.
Then stay out of my head. Another wave of paralyzing hunger assaults me, and I nearly crush Markham's scroll in my hand. Don't be an ass. I swear I hear him chuff a chuckle in response. We'd better hurry or we'll miss breakfast. Right, I finish rolling the scroll and put it back on the cart.
I want to be like the cool kids, Rhiannon grumbles as first years from second and third wings pour out of the stairwell of the turret that leads up to Professor Carr's classroom that afternoon, further clogging the hallway on our way to battle brief. We will, I promise, linking my arm through hers. Have to admit, there's more than a little twinge of jealousy in my chest. You may be cool, but you will never be as cool as I am. Riddick pushes past Liam and throws his arm over my shoulder. She's talking about everyone who's already channeling, I explain, juggling my books so I don't drop them. Though, at least if we're not channeling, we're not stressed about manifesting a signet before the magic kills us. The relic in the center of my back tingles, and I can't help but wonder if Andarna's gift has triggered that clock for me. Oh, I thought we were discussing how I just owned that physics test, he grins. Definitely the highest score in the class. Rhiannon rolls her eyes. Please, I scored 5 points higher than you.
We stopped counting your grades months ago.
He leans forward slightly. Your grades in that class make it unfair for the rest of us. He looks between our shoulders.
Wait, what did you get, Mari?
Not getting into the middle of this, Liam responds.
I laugh as we break apart, entering the bottleneck of cadets to get into the briefing room.
Sorry, Soarin'gale, someone says, stepping out of the way and tugging their friend with them as we enter the tiered classroom.
Nothing to be sorry about, I call out, but they're already headed up a few rows. I'm never going to get used to that. It definitely makes getting places easier, Rhiannon teases as we descend the steps that curve along the massive turret.
They show the appropriate level of deference,
Taryn grumbles. To what they think I'll be, not who I am. We find our row and walk to our seats, sitting as a squad among the first years.
That shows excellent forethought.
The room buzzes with energy as riders file in. And I can't help but notice that no one has to stand anymore. Our numbers have decreased exponentially in the last 4 months. The number of empty chairs is sobering. We lost another first year yesterday when he got too close to another rider's red scorpion tail on the flight field. 1 second he was standing there, and the next he was a scorched patch of earth. I kept as close to Taryn as possible the rest of the session. My scalp prickles, but I fight the urge to turn around. Ryerson just got here, Liam says from the seat to my right, breaking from the little dragon figurine he's carving and looking up the rows toward the third years. Figured. I hold up my middle finger and keep my eyes forward. Not that I don't like Liam, but I'm still pissed at Zayden for assigning him. Liam snorts and grins, flashing his dimple. And now he's glaring. Tell me, is it fun pissing off the most powerful rider in the quadrant? You could try it yourself and find out, I suggest, opening my notebook to the next empty page. I can't turn around. I won't. Wanting Zayden is fine. It has to be. Indulging the impulses it gives me? That's asinine. That's gonna be a no from me. I lose the battle with my self-control and look over my shoulder. Sure enough, Zayden is seated in the top row next to Garrick, mastering the art of looking bored. He gives Liam a nod, which Liam returns. I roll my eyes and face forward again. Liam concentrates on his carving, which looks a lot like his red dagger tail day. I swear, you'd think there were assassination attempts on me during every class, with the way he makes you shadow me. I shake my head. In his defense, people are fond of trying to kill you, Rhiannon sets out her supplies. One time! It's happened one time, Rhi. I adjust my posture to keep my weight off my bruised ribs. They're wrapped tight, but leaning against the back of my seat isn't an option. Right. And what would you call that whole thing with Tynan? Rhiannon asks.
Threshing? I shrug.
And Barlow's constant threats? She arches a brow at me.
She has a point there, Sawyer chimes in, leaning forward from the seat next to Rhiannon's.
They're just threats. The only time I've actually been targeted was at night, and it's not like Liam here is sleeping in my bedroom.
I mean, I'm not opposed, he begins, his knife hovering over the piece of wood.
Don't even start. I whip my head to face him and can't help but laugh. You are a shameless flirt.
Thank you. He grins and goes back to carving. It wasn't a compliment.
Don't mind her. She's just sexually frustrated. Makes a girl crabby.
Rhiannon writes the date down on her empty page and I follow suit, dipping my quill into my portable ink pot. Those easy, messless pens some of the others can already use is just another reason I can't wait to channel. No more quills, no more ink pots.
That has nothing to do with it.
Gods, could she have said that a little louder?
And yet, I don't hear you denying it.
She smiles sweetly at me. I'm sorry I don't make the cut, Liam teases, but I'm sure Ryerson would be fine with my reviewing a couple candidates, especially if it means you'll stop flipping him off in front of his entire wing.
And how exactly would you be reviewing candidates?
What will you be scoring? Rhiannon asks, one eyebrow raised above her wide grin.
This I have to hear.
I manage a straight face for all of 2 seconds before laughing at how horrified he suddenly looks.
Thanks for the offer, though. I'll make sure to run any potential liaisons by you. I mean, you could watch,
Rhiannon continues, blinking innocently at him,
just to be sure she's fully covered, you know, so no one sticks it to her.
Oh, are we telling dick jokes now? Riddick asks from Liam's side. Because my entire life has led up to this very moment. Even Sawyer laughs. Fuck me, Liam mutters under his breath.
I'm just saying that since you're protected at night now,
we laugh harder and he blows out a deep breath. Wait, I stop laughing. What do you mean I'm protected at night? Because you're next door? My smile vanishes. Please tell me he's not making you sleep in the hallway or something obnoxious.
No, of course not.
He warded your door the morning after the attack. His expression clearly says I should know this. I'm guessing he didn't tell you?
He what?
He warded your door, Liam says, quieter this time, so only you can open it.
Shit.
I don't know how to feel about that. It's more than slightly controlling and way out of line, but also sweet.
But if he's the one who warded it, then he can get in too, right?
Well, yeah, Liam shrugs as Professors Markham and DeVero walk down the stairs, heading for the front of the room. But it's not like Ryerson is gonna kill you.
Right. You see, I'm still adjusting to that little change of heart.
I fumble my quill and it falls to the ground, but before I can lean over, the shadows beneath the arm of my desk lift the instruments like an offering. I pluck it out of the shadows and look back at Zayden. He's locked in conversation with Garrick, not paying me a speck of attention. Except, apparently, he is.
If we can get started, Markham calls over the room.
And we fall silent as he places the scroll Liam and I had delivered to him before breakfast on the podium.
Excellent.
I write Summerton down at the top of the page, and Liam trades his knife for a quill.
First announcement, DeVera says, stepping forward. We've decided that not only will the winners of this year's squad battle receive bragging rights,
she grins like we're in for a treat,
but they'll also be given a trip to the front lines to shadow an active wing.
Cheers break out all around us.
So if we win, we get a chance to die sooner?
Rhiannon whispers.
Maybe they're trying a reverse psychology thing.
I glance at the others around us who are clearly overjoyed and worry about their sanity. Then again, most everyone in this room can stay on their dragon.
So can you.
Don't you have better things to do with your day than listen in on my self-loathing?
Not particularly. Now pay attention.
Stop butting in and maybe I can, I counter.
Tarn chuffs.
One day I might be able to translate that sound, but it's not today.
I know the squad battle doesn't commence until spring, DeVera continues.
but I figured that news would give you all the proper motivation to apply yourselves in every area leading up to the challenges. Another cheer resounds.
And now that we have your attention, Markham lifts his hand and the room quiets. The front lines are relatively quiet today, so we're going to take this opportunity to dissect the Battle of Jaunfar.
My quill hovers above my notebook. Surely he didn't say that. The mage lights rise to the cliffs of Draelor that separate Tirindor, lifting the entire province thousands of feet above the rest of the continent, before shining brightest on the ancient stronghold along the southern border.
This battle was pivotal to the unification of Navarre, and though it happened more than 6 centuries ago, there are important lessons that still impact our flight formations to this day.
Is he serious? I whisper to Liam.
Yeah.
Liam's grip bends his quill.
I think he is.
What made this battle unique? Devera asks, her eyebrows raised. Bryant?
The stronghold was not only set for a siege, the second year says from high above us, but was equipped with the first crossbolt, which proved lethal against dragonkind.
Yes, and, Devera prompts,
it was one of the final battles where griffins and dragons actually worked alongside each other to annihilate the army of the barons,
the second year continues. I glance left and right, watching the other riders begin to take notes.
Surreal. This is just surreal.
Even Rhiannon is writing intensely. None of them knows what we do. That an entire village of Navarians was ransacked last night along the border and supplies looted. And yet, we're discussing a battle that happened before the convenience of indoor plumbing was invented?
Now, pay close attention, Markham lectures, because you'll be turning in a detailed report in 3 days and drawing comparisons to battles from the last 20 years.
Was that scroll marked classified? Liam asks under his breath.
No, I respond just as quietly. But maybe I missed it? The battle map doesn't even show activity near the mountain range.
Yeah,
he nods, scratching his quill against the parchment as he begins to take notes.
That has to be it. You missed it.
I blink, forcing my hand through the motions of writing about a battle I've analyzed dozens of times with my father. Liam's right. That's the only possible explanation. Our clearance isn't high enough, or maybe they haven't finished gathering all the information needed to form an accurate report. Or it had to have been marked classified.
I just missed it.
Chapter 22.
A quote from page 64, The Book of Brennan.
The first rush of power is unmistakable. The first time it forms to you, surrounds you with a seemingly endless supply of energy, you'll be addicted to the high, to the possibilities of all you can do with it, to the control you hold in the palm of your hand. But here's the thing. That power can quickly turn and control you. The rest of November passes without mention of what happened at Summerton, and by the time the howling winds bring snow in December, I've given up hope Command will release the information. It's not like Liam or I can directly ask the professors without incriminating ourselves for reading what was obviously a classified report, even if it wasn't marked. It makes me wonder what else doesn't make it to battle brief. But I keep that to myself. Between that and my growing frustration over my inability to channel, unlike 3/4 of my year, I'm keeping a lot to myself these days.
Not entirely,
Tarn grunts. No comments from you, not after you almost let me hit the side of a mountain today. My stomach churns just thinking about how far he let me fall. The first year from Third Wing wasn't as lucky. She lost her seat during a new maneuver and ended up on the death roll this morning. Rhiannon swings her bow staff, and I throw my weight into a backbend,
narrowly escaping the strike. To my absolute surprise, I keep my balance on the training mat.
Then stay on next time.
Start channeling and maybe I'll be able to,
I counter.
You're distracted tonight,
Rhiannon backs off as I regain my balance, showing me mercy no opponent would during a challenge. Her gaze flicks across the mat to where Liam sits on a bench, carving yet another dragon, and returns to mine, giving me a look that says she'll follow up later once I've been released from my constant shadow for the night.
But you're faster than you used to be. Whatever Imogen has you doing is working.
You're not ready to channel yet, Silver One.
As if there was ever any doubt,
Imogen calls from the next mat over, where she casually holds Riddick in a headlock, waiting for him to tap out. To my left, Sawyer and Quinn circle each other, preparing for yet another round, and behind Rhiannon, Emery and Heaton are doing their best to coach the other first years we gained after threshing, while Dane looks on, studiously avoiding anything that has to do with me. Per his recent orders, Tuesday nights are for squad hand-to-hand practice, because the full academic load we're carrying, coupled with flight lessons, and now wielding instruction, for some of us, isn't leaving much time for the mat. A few of the farther mats are taken up by other riders with the same idea, one of which includes Jack Barlow. Hence why Liam refused when Riddick asked to spar with him.
You're taking it easy on me, I tell Rhiannon. Sweat drips down my back, dampening the tight-fitted tunic I chose, while my dragon scale vest dries on the bench next to Liam. It's not like he needs extra practice. He's already taken everyone but Dane down to the mat, and part of me thinks that's only because Dane refuses to be bested by a younger rider.
We've been at this for an hour.
Rhiannon swishes her staff through the air.
You're tired, and the last thing I want is to hurt you.
Challenges resume after solstice, I remind her. You're not doing me any favors by holding back.
She's not wrong,
a deep voice says from behind me. In my peripherals, I see Liam stand, and I mutter a curse under my breath.
Well aware,
I say over my shoulder as Zayden passes by our mat, accompanied by Garrick as usual. It's impossible to rip my eyes away until he passes, though.
Gods, I have it bad.
Go away, unless you have something useful to say.
Move faster. You'll be less likely to die.
How's that for useful?
He calls back, taking up a position on a mat closer to the center of the sparring gym. Rhiannon's eyes flare and Liam shakes his head.
What?
The way you talk to him,
Rhiannon murmurs.
What's he gonna do, kill me?
I charge forward, swinging my staff at her legs. She jumps over the attack and spins, bringing the staff against mine with a crack.
You're likely to kill each other,
Liam chimes in, taking his seat again. Can't wait to see how you two function after graduation.
After graduation?
Haven't let myself think past this week, let alone all the way to graduation.
Not when there are some very difficult questions I'm not ready to ask.
Look, I know you're aggravated by how long it's taking Tarn to channel,
Rhiannon says, circling me on the mat again.
I'm just saying on this mat with me is a way safer place for you to take out that anger than the giant shadow-wielding wing leader. I don't want to take any of my anger out on you. You're my friend.
I gesture loosely towards Zayden.
He's the one who stuck me with a shadow I can't shake because he thinks I'm his weakness. But does he help me?
I lash out with the staff, and she counters.
No. Does he train me?
Another lunge, another clash of our staffs.
No. He's remarkably good at showing up when I'm about to die and eliminating threats, but that's it.
He sure as hell doesn't have a problem keeping his eyes off me the way I do him.
So there's definitely some anger there,
Rhiannon drawls as she spins away easily.
You would be furious if someone took your freedom away, if you had Liam at your door every morning until every night, even as seemingly great as he is.
I dodge one of her attacks.
I appreciate that,
Liam butts in, proving my point.
Yeah, she agrees. I would. And I'm pissed on your behalf. Now, let's put that anger to use.
Rhiannon rains another series of moves down on me and I keep up, but only because she's doing exactly what I accused her of and taking it easy on me. Then I make the mistake of glancing over her shoulder toward the center of the gym. Holy fucking hot. Zayden and Garrick have stripped off their shirts and are sparring like their lives depend on it, a blur of kicks, punches, and rippling muscle. I've never seen two people move that fast. It's a beautiful, hypnotizing dance with lethal choreography that makes me hold my breath whenever Garrick goes in for the kill and Zayden deflects. I've seen countless riders spar without their shirts these past months. This is nothing new. I should be absolutely immune to the male form, but I've never seen him shirtless.
Every edge of Zayden's body is honed like a weapon, all sharp lines and barely leashed power.
His rebellion relic twists around his upper body and stands out against the deep bronze of his skin, accentuating every punch he throws. And his stomach. I mean, how many muscles are there in the abdominals? His are so rigidly defined that I could probably count every single one if the rest of him wasn't so damn distracting. And he has the largest dragon relic I've ever seen. Mine consumes the skin between shoulder blades, but Sigale's mark takes up his entire back. And I know exactly how that body feels on top of mine. Just how much power my hip stings, knocking me out of my trance and I startle.
Serves you right,
Taryn lectures. Pay attention, Rhiannon yells, drawing back her staff. I could have... Oh. Clearly she sees what I do, what nearly every other woman and several of the men are happily watching. How can we not when the two of them are mesmerizing? Garrick's wider, more densely packed with muscle than Zayden, his rebellion relic only extending to his shoulder, the second largest I've seen. Only Zayden's reaches his carved jawline.
That is, Rhiannon murmurs beside me.
It sure is, I agree.
Stop objectifying our wing leader, Liam teases.
Is that what we're doing?
Rhiannon asks, not bothering to look away.
My mouth waters at the muscled expanse of his back and that sculpted ass.
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. Liam snorts.
We could just be watching for technique.
Yeah, we absolutely could be. But I'm not. I am shamelessly wondering how his skin would feel under my fingertips. How my body would react to having every ounce of that intense focus on me. Heat races through my veins and stings my cheeks. A repetitive smacking sound draws my attention to the right, where Riddick is tapping out with zeal. Imogen drops him, leaving him gasping for breath on the mat, and an unwanted and absolutely illogical flash of ugly, twisted jealousy stabs me straight in the chest at the pure yearning she can't hide in her expression as she watches Zayden and Garrick.
If you guys are this easily distracted, we're fucked for the squad battle, Dane barks. You can kiss any thought of visiting the front lines goodbye.
We all snap out of it, and I shake my head. Like that might clear the dizzying need that demands I do more than look at Zayden, which is just ridiculous. He only tolerates my existence because our dragons are mated. And here I am salivating over his half-naked body.
It's a really nice half-naked body, though.
Get back to work. We have another half hour, Dane orders, and I feel like he's talking directly to me. Which would be the first thing he said since my memory got Amber killed.
She got herself killed by breaking the codex,
Taryn growls. Sure enough, when I glance his way, Dane's eyes are narrowed on me. But I must be reading his face wrong. Surely that's not betrayal pursing his lips. Should we?
Rhiannon asks, lifting her staff. Yep, we definitely should. I roll my shoulders and we start again. I match her move for move using the patterns she taught me, but she switches up the next attack.
Stop defending and go on offense,
Tarn demands, his anger flooding my system and throwing off my footwork. Rhiannon sweeps low and flips me onto my back, knocking the wind out of me as I collide with the mat. I fight for air that isn't there.
Shit, I'm sorry, Vi. Rhiannon drops down to a knee beside me. Just relax and give it a second.
And yet, that is the rider Tarn chose,
Jack mocks, talking to someone in his squad as he grins maliciously at the edge of the mat.
I'm starting to think he chose wrong, but considering I haven't seen you wield any powers, I bet you're thinking the same thing too, aren't you, Soren Gale? Shouldn't you have twice the ability to channel with two dragons?
It doesn't work like that with Andarna, but none of them know that. Liam stands, putting himself between Jack and me as the first trickle of air dances into my lungs.
Simmer down, Mari. I'm not going to attack your little charge. Not when I can just challenge her in a couple of weeks and accidentally snap her scrawny neck in front of an audience.
Jack folds his arms across his chest and watches me struggle with pure pleasure.
Tell me, though, you are getting tired of playing the nursemaid, aren't you?
His friend from First Wing offers him something, a slice of an orange he's eating, and Jack shoves his hand away at the wrist.
Get that noxious shit away from me. Do you want me to end up in the infirmary? Walk the fuck away, Barlow, Liam warns, dagger in hand.
I manage one breath, then two, as Jack's gaze rises from me to someone standing behind me. That look on his face, half envy, half shitting himself, means it has to be Zayden.
She's only alive because of you, Jack spits,
but the blood drains from his face.
Right, because I'm the one who buried a dagger in your shoulder at threshing.
Finally, breathing somewhat normally, I scramble for my feet, clutching the staff with both hands.
We could just settle this now, Jack says, sidestepping Liam to look me in the eyes. If you're done hiding behind the big, strong men.
My stomach hollows out because he's right. The only reason I don't accept his challenge is because I'm not sure I'll win. And the only reason he isn't attacking me is because of Liam and Zayden. If I attack Jack now, they'll kill him. Garrick's hulking frame appears to the left, and I begrudgingly add him to my list of protectors. Hell, even Imogen has inched closer, but not on my behalf. It's only on his.
That's what I thought,
Jack says, blowing me a kiss.
You ran, I snarl, wishing I could lunge forward and beat the shit out of him, but forcing my feet to stay planted where they are. That day in the field, you fucking ran when it was 3-on-1. And we both know when it comes down to it, you'll run again. That's what cowards do.
Jack flushes, his eyes nearly bugging out of his face.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Violet, Dane mutters.
She's not wrong, Zayden drawls.
Garrick laughs and Liam muscles Jack off the mat when he leaps at me. Jack's boots squeak against the hardwood floor as he unsuccessfully fights to hold his ground, and Liam forces him from the gym. With a flick of his hand, Zayden shuts the huge doors with his power, locking Jack out.
What the hell were you thinking, egging him on like that?
Dane marches toward me, disbelief raising his brows.
Oh, now you feel like talking to me?
I lift my chin, but it's Zayden who fills my vision as he steps between us. The fury in his eyes is palpable, but I don't retreat.
Give us a second.
His gaze is locked on mine, but we both know he's not talking to me. My pulse skitters. Rhiannon steps back.
You want to tell me why the fuck you're not wearing that?
His tone is soft but deadly as he points toward the bench where my armor lies.
I have to wash it at some point. And you thought that would be a good idea during sparring?
His chest heaves like he's battling to keep control of himself.
I'm just trying not to notice his chest or the heat he's throwing off like a damned furnace. I washed it before sparring, knowing it could dry while your guard dog keeps watch, as opposed to sleeping without it, because we both know what happens behind locked doors around here. Not behind yours anymore. His jaw ticks. I made sure of it. Because I'm supposed to trust you? Yes, a vein in his neck bulges. And you make it so easy. Sarcasm drips from my voice. You know I can't kill you. Fuck Sorengale, the entire quadrant knows I can't kill you. He leans into my space, eclipsing the rest of the room. That doesn't mean you can't hurt me. He blinks and shifts backward, composing himself in less than a heartbeat while mine still races. Stop training with a bow staff. It's too easy to knock out of your hands. Stick to the daggers. To my surprise, he doesn't snatch it away just to prove he can. I was doing just fine until Tarn barged into my head with all his anger and distracted me, I argue, my defenses rising like the hackles of a dog. Then learn how to block him out. He says it like it's just that simple. What, with all this power I'm wielding? My brows rise. Or were you unaware that I'm still not channeling? I want to throttle him, to shake some ever-loving sense into that beautiful head of his. He leans in so we're almost nose to nose. I am annoyingly aware of everything you do. Thanks to Liam. Every inch of my body vibrates with anger, with irritation, with whatever this electric tension is between us as we stand there, our eyes locked in combat. Wing Leader Ryerson, Dane starts. She's just not used to the bond yet. She'll learn how to block it out. Dane's words sting like a blow. I inhale sharply and step back from Zayden. Good gods, we've been putting on a fucking show. What is it about Zayden that makes me tune out the rest of the world? You choose the oddest times to defend her, Atos. Zayden all but rolls his eyes as he looks at Dane. And the most convenient times not to. Dane's jaw clenches and his hands curl into fists at his sides. He's talking about Amber, I know it. Dane knows it. Everyone in this whole awkward room knows it. Our entire squad was there when Dane demanded I call Zayden a liar. Zayden turns those unfathomable eyes back on me. Do us both a favor and put the fucking armor back on, he finishes. Before I can counter, he turns and walks off the mat, meeting Garrick at the edge. His back. My quiet gasp is uncontrollable, and Zayden tenses for a second before taking his shirt from Garrick's outstretched hand and tugging it over his head, covering the navy blue relic of a dragon that sweeps from his waist to over both his shoulders. Textured intricately with raised silver lines I couldn't see from across the gym. Silver lines I instantly recognize as scars.
You held your own and controlled your temper,
Tarn says, an immense swell of pride flooding my chest.
She's ready, Andarna adds with a giddy jolt of joy that makes me instantly lightheaded.
She's ready.
He agrees. A couple of hours later, I rip my brush through my hair in the privacy of my room, still fully dressed down to my boots and armor. I still can't believe I made an ass of myself in front of my entire squad simply because Zayden decided to train shirtless. I really need to get laid. I pause mid-brush stroke when a rush of energy races down my spine, dissipating in a heartbeat. Well, that's weird. Maybe it's... No, it can't be. It felt completely different when Andarna stopped time through me. That was a full body flood that expanded through my fingers and toes, then left afterward. Another wave ripples through me, stronger this time, and I drop the brush, clutching the edge of the dresser so I don't fall as my knees threaten to buckle. The energy doesn't dissipate this time. It sticks around, humming under my skin, ringing in my ears, overwhelming every sense. Something within me expands, somehow too big for my own body, too vast to be contained, and pain sears every nerve as I crack open, the sound reverberating through my skull like bones shattering. It's as though I've been split at the very seams of the fabric of my being. My knees hit the floor, and I throw my hands over my temples, trying to shove everything I am back into my skull, forcing myself to shrink. Energy pours in, a deluge of raw, endless power, eroding everything I was and forging something completely new as it fills every pore, every organ, every bone. My head screams, and it feels like Terran has flown too high, too fast, and I can't pop my ears. All I can do is lie there on the floor and pray the pressure equalizes. I stare at my brush, the hardwood floor biting into my cheek, and breathe. In. And then out. In. And then out. Surrendering to the onslaught. Finally, the pain ebbs, but the energy, the power, doesn't. It's simply there, prowling through my veins, saturating every cell in my body. It is everything I am and everything I can be all at once. I sit up slowly and flip my hands to examine my tingling palms. It feels like they should look different, changed, but they're not. They're still my fingers, my slender wrists, and yet they're so much more now. They're strong enough to shape the torrent inside me, to mold it into whatever I desire. This is your power, isn't it? I ask Terran, but he doesn't answer. And Darna? There's only silence. Go figure. They're always around, pushing into my head when I could use a little space, then nowhere to be found when it's the other way around. I'd heard them say I was ready earlier, but I figured it would take a day or two for my mind to fully open that pathway once Terran started channeling.
Guess not.
Rhiannon. I have to tell Rhiannon. She's going to flip that I can finally go to Professor Carr's class with her. And Liam? He can stop pretending that he can't channel just so he isn't forced to leave me for an hour a day. Heat washes over me, prickling my skin and centering low in my stomach.
Odd, but whatever.
It's probably just a side effect of the power. I throw open the lock on my door and yank it open. My vision blurs and need slams into me, robbing me of every logical thought besides satiating the overwhelming Violet. The fuzzy shape of a man stands in the hallway and I blink Liam into focus.
You all right?
Are you sleeping in the hallway? I grip the doorframe as an image of falling fills my mind, and I feel the sizzle of flakes as they make contact with my heated skin. It's gone as quickly as it appeared, but the driving, thundering desire remains. Oh, shit. This is lust.
No, Liam shakes his head, just hanging out here before turning in.
I look at him then. Really, honestly look at him. He's more than handsome, with strong features and sky blue eyes that are startlingly beautiful.
Why are you looking at me like that? He sets his knife and semi-carved dragon down.
Like what? My teeth sink into my bottom lip, and I debate rubbing against him like a cat in heat while demanding he appease this unimaginable ache. But he's not who you really want. He's not Zayden.
Like, he cocks his head to the side. Like something's going on. You don't look like you feel, you know, like yourself.
Oh, shit. It's because I'm not myself. All of this, the need, the lust, the craving for the one person who I'm meant to be with, it's Terran. Terran's emotions aren't just overwhelming me, they're controlling me. I'm good. Go to bed. I step back into my room and slam the door while I still have the mental capacity to do so.
Then I start pacing, but that doesn't stop the next blast of heat or the compulsion to, I have to get out of here before I make an epic mistake and take Tarn's feelings out on Liam. Grabbing my fur-lined cloak in one hand and pulling my hair up with the other, I swirl the fabric over my shoulders and fasten the clip beneath my throat. A second later, I peek out the door, and when I'm sure the coast is clear, I fucking flee. I make it to the entrance of the spiral steps, the ones that lead to the river, before I have to lean back against the stone wall and breathe through the fog of Tarn's emotions. Once the wave passes, I race down the steps, keeping one hand on the wall in case I'm pulled under again. The mage lights flicker on as I approach and fizzle out as I race by, as though this newfound power is already at work, stretching into the world. Away. I have to get away from everyone until Tarn finishes, whatever he and Segail are doing. I stumble out of the stairwell and emerge at the foundation walls of the citadel. Snow fills the sky, and I tip my head back, savoring the brief kiss of snowflakes on skin that's heated for all the wrong reasons. The air is crisp and chilled, and my eyes pop open at the scent in the air, and I whirl, my cloak whipping out behind me as I find the source of the sweet, easily identifiable smoke. Zayden is leaning back against the wall, one foot braced on the stone, smoking and watching me like he doesn't have a care in the world. Is that Churum? He blows out a puff of smoke. Want some? Unless you're here to continue our earlier argument, in which case, none for you. My jaw practically unhinges. No, we're not allowed to smoke that. Yeah, well, the people who made that rule obviously weren't bonded to Segail and Tarn, now were they? A smirk lifts a corner of his mouth. Gods, I could stare at his lips forever. They are perfectly shaped, and yet entirely too decadent for the slashing line of his jaw. It helps with distancing yourself. He offers me the rolled churum and cocks an eyebrow at me, the one with the scar. Beyond what shielding does, of course. I shake my head and cross through the newly fallen snow to brace my weight on the wall beside him, letting my head fall back against the stone. Suit yourself. He inhales deeply on the churum and then puts it out against the wall. I feel like I'm on fucking fire. That's putting it mildly. Yeah, that happens. His laugh holds a wicked edge, and I make the utterly unforgivable mistake of turning to see his smile. Zayden, while brooding and bossy, dangerous and lethal, is a toe-curling sight that makes my pulse quicken. But Zayden laughing, his head thrown back with a smile curving his mouth, is drop-dead beautiful. My stupid, foolish heart feels like there's a fist around it, squeezing tight. There is nothing I wouldn't sacrifice, nothing I wouldn't give to have one unguarded moment with this man I'm going to be tethered to for the rest of our lives. This has to be Tarn. It just has to. And yet I know it isn't. While I'd admired Liam upstairs, I am completely, utterly obsessed with Zayden. His eyes meet mine in the moonlight. Oh, violence. You're going to have to learn to shield against Tarn, or his escapades with Segail will drive you mad. Or into someone's bed. I squeeze my eyes shut just so I can escape his gorgeous face as a jolt of heat flashes through me, making every inch of my skin tingle and burn. I reach a hand out to steady myself against the wall again. Oh, I know. I am horrified to see Liam again. Liam? Why? He pivots to face me, leaning against his shoulder. Where the hell is your bodyguard? I'm my own bodyguard, I counter, resting my cheek on the icy stone. And he's in bed. Your bed? His voice is like a crack of lightning. I pry my eyes open to meet his gaze. The snow makes everything so much brighter. highlighting the furrowed line of his brow, the firm set of his mouth. No, not that it should matter to you. Is he jealous? That's oddly comforting. He looses a breath, his shoulders dipping. It doesn't matter to me as long as you're both consenting. And trust me, you're in no condition to consent.
You have no clue what I'm capable of consenting.
Undeniable, unquenchable need nearly takes me out at the knees. Zayden's arm wraps around my waist, steadying me.
Why the hell aren't you shielding? Not all of us have been given lessons. He just started channeling before all this, and in case you forgot, you're only allowed to attend Professor Carr's class if you can wield.
Always thought that was a ridiculous rule. He sighs. All right, crash course, only because I've been where you are and woken up with more than a few regrets.
You're actually going to help me?
I've been helping you for months. His hand flexes at my waist, and I swear I can feel the warmth of his touch through my cloak and leathers.
No, you sent Liam to help. He's been helping me for months.
My forehead puckers.
Weeks, almost months, whatever.
He has the nerve to look offended.
I'm the one who burst through your door and killed everyone who attacked you, and then I removed the other threat to your life with a very public, very polarizing display of vengeance. Liam didn't do that. I did.
The crowd wasn't polarized. They were all for it. I was there.
You were torn. In fact, you begged Taryn not to kill her, damn well knowing she'd just come after you again.
That point was still debatable.
Fine, but let's not pretend that you didn't do most of that for yourself. It would be inconvenient for you if I died, I shrug, blatantly poking at him to help ignore the rising tide of lust thundering through me.
He stares at me with disbelief.
You know what? We're not fighting tonight. Not if you want to learn how to shield.
Fine, we're not fighting.
Teach me.
I tilt my chin. Gods, I barely reach his collarbone.
Ask me nicely.
He leans closer.
Have you always been this tall? I blurt the first thing that comes to mind.
No. I was a child at some point. I roll my eyes.
Ask me nicely, Violence, he whispers, or I'm gone.
I can feel Taryn at the edge of my mind, his emotions ebbing and flowing, and know the next wave is going to hit hard. How freaking long can those two possibly take?
How often is it like this with them?
Often enough that you're going to need proper shields. You won't ever be able to block them out completely. And sometimes they forget to block us, like tonight. That's why the Churim helps. But at least it's like walking by a brothel instead of actively participating in one.
Well, shit.
Right then. All right? Will you teach me to shield? A smile curves his mouth, and my gaze drops to his lips.
Say, please.
Are you always this difficult?
Only when I know I have something you need.
What can I say? I like making you squirm. It's like a sweet little slice of payback for what you've put me through these last couple of months. He brushes the snow off my hair.
What I've put you through? Unbelievable.
You've scared me nearly to death once or twice. So I think saying please is a fair request.
Like he's ever played fair a day in his life.
I take a deep breath and swat at a snowflake that lands on my nose.
As you prefer.
Zayden? I smile sweetly up at him an inch a little closer.
Would you pretty, pretty please teach me how to shield before I accidentally climb you like a tree, and we both wake up with regrets.
Oh, I'm firmly in control of my faculties. He smiles again, and I feel it like a caress. Dangerous. This is so damn dangerous. Heat flushes my skin, so hot that I debate tossing my cloak to the ground just to get a little relief. Notably, Zayden isn't wearing one. And since you asked so nicely, he adjusts his stance and brings both his hands up to my cheeks, cradling my face before sliding them back to hold my head. Close your eyes. It requires touching me? My eyes flutter shut at the sensation of his skin against mine. Not at all. Just one of the perks of not thinking too clearly. You have incredibly touchable skin. The compliment makes me suck in a breath. So much for controlling his faculties. You need to envision somewhere. Anywhere. I prefer the top of my favorite hillside, near what's left of Aracia. Wherever it is, it needs to feel like home. The only place I can think of is the archives. Feel your feet hit the ground and dig in some. I imagine my boots on the polished marble floor of the archives and wiggle them a little. Got it. That's called grounding. Keeping your mental self somewhere so you aren't swept away by the power. Now, call to your power. Open your senses. My palms begin to tingle, and a flood of energy surrounds me, just as saturating as it was in my bedroom, but without the pain. It's everywhere, filling the archives and pushing at the walls, making them bow and bend, threatening to break them. Too much. Focus on your feet. Stay grounded. Can you see where the power flows from? If not, just pick a place. I turn in my mind. The barrage of molten power is flowing through the door. I see it. Perfect. You're a natural. It takes most people a week just to learn how to ground. Now, do whatever you need to mentally do to wall yourself off from that current.